From MDW. During the Union War, I commenced at the close of 1862 and continued steadily through 63, 64, and 65 to visit the sick and wounded of the Army, both on the field and in the hospitals in and around Washington City. From the first, I kept little notebooks for impromptu jottings in pencil to refresh my memory of names and circumstances, and what was specially wanted, etc. In these, I briefed cases, persons, sites, occurrences in camp, by the bedside, and not seldom by the corpses of the dead. Of the present volume, most of its pages are verbatim renderings from such pencillings on the spot. Some were scratched down from narratives I heard and itemized while watching, or waiting, or tending somebody amid those scenes. I have perhaps 40 such little notebooks left, forming a special history of those years for myself alone, full of associations never to be possibly said or sung. I wish I could convey to the reader the associations that attach to these soiled and creased little livraisons, each composed of a sheet or two of paper, folded small to carry in the pocket, and fastened with a pin. I leave them just as I threw them by during the war, blotched here and there with more than one blood stain, hurriedly written, sometimes at the clinic, not seldom amid the excitement of uncertainty, or defeat, or of action, or getting ready for it, or a march. Even these days, at the lapse of many years, I can never turn their tiny leaves, or even take one in my hand, without the actual army sights and hot emotions of the time rushing like a river in full tide through me. Each line, each scrawl, each memorandum has its history, some pang of anguish, some tragedy profounder than ever poet wrote. Out of them arise active and breathing forms. They summon up, even in this silent and vacant room as I write, not only the sinewy regiments and brigades marching or in camp, but the countless phantoms of those who fell and were hastily buried by wholesale in the battle pits, or whose dust and bones have been since removed to the national cemeteries of the land, especially through Virginia and Tennessee. Not Northern soldiers only. Many indeed the Carolinian, Georgian, Alabamian, Louisianian, Virginian, many a Southern face and form, pale, emaciated, with that strange tie of confidence and love between us, welded by sickness, pain of wounds, and little daily, nightly offices of nursing and friendly words and visits, comes up amid the rest, and does not mar, but rounds and gives a finish to the meditation. Vivid as life, they recall and identify the long hospital wards with their myriad varied scenes of day or night, the graphic incidents of field or camp, the night before the battle, with many solemn yet cool preparations, the changeful exaltations and depressions of those 4 years, north and south, the convulsive memories, let but a word, a broken sentence serve to recall them, the clues already quite vanished, like some old dream, and yet the list significant enough to soldiers, the scrawled, worn slips of paper that came up by bushels from the southern prisons, Salisbury or Andersonville, by the hands of exchanged prisoners, the clank of crutches on the pavements or floors of Washington, or up and down the stairs of the paymaster's offices, the grand review of homebound veterans at the close of the war, cheerily marching day after day by the president's house, one brigade succeeding another, until it seemed as if they would never end, the strange squads of Southern deserters, escapees I called them, that little genre group, unwrecked amid the mighty whirl, I remember passing in a hospital corner of a dying Irish boy, a Catholic priest, and an improvised altar. 4 years compressing centuries of native passion, first-class pictures, tempests of life and death, an inexhaustible mine for the histories, drama, romance, and even philosophy of centuries to come. Indeed, the vertebrae of poetry and art, of personal character, too, for all future America, far more grand, in my opinion, to the hands capable of it, than Homer's Siege of Troy, or the French Wars to Shakespeare. And looking over all, in my remembrance, the tall form of President Lincoln, with his face of deep-cut lines, with the large, kind, canny eyes, the complexion of dark brown, and the tinge of weird melancholy saturating all. More and more, in my recollections of that period, and through its varied multitudinous oceans and murky whirls, appear the central resolution and sternness of the bulk of the average American people, animated in soul by a definite purpose, though sweeping and fluid as some great storm, the common people, emblemished in thousands of specimens of first-class heroism, steadily accumulating. No regiment, no company, hardly a file of men, north or south, the last 3 years, without such first-class specimens. I know not how it may have been, or may be to others. To me, the main interest of the war I found, and still on recollection find, in those specimens, and in the ambulance, the hospital, and even the dead on the field, to me, the points illustrating the latent personal character and eligibilities of these states in the 2 or 3 millions of American young and middle-aged men, North and South, embodied in the armies, and especially the 1/3 or 1/4 of their number stricken by wounds or disease at some time in the course of the contest, were of more significance even than the political interests involved. As so much of a race depends on what it thinks of death and how it stands personal anguish and sickness, as in the glints of emotions under emergencies and the indirect traits and asides in Plutarch, etc., we get far profounder clues to the antique world than all its more formal history. Future years will never know the seething hell and the black, infernal background of countless minor scenes and interiors, not the few great battles, of the Secession War. And it is best they should not. In the mushy influences of current times, the fervid atmosphere and typical events of those years are in danger of being totally forgotten. I have at night watched by the side of a sick man in the hospital, one who could not live many hours. I have seen his eyes flash and burn as he recurred to the cruelties on his surrendered brother, and mutilations of the corpse afterward. See, in the following pages, the incident at Upperville. The 17 killed, as in the description, were left there on the ground. After they dropped dead, no one touched them. All were made sure of, however. The carcasses were left for the citizens to bury or not, as they chose. Such was the war. It was not a quadrille in a ballroom. Its interior history will not only never be written, its practicality, minutiae of deeds and passions, will never be even suggested. The actual soldier of 1862-65, North and South, with all his ways, his incredible dauntlessness, habits, practices, tastes, language, his appetite, rankness, his superb strength and animality, lawless gait, and 100 unnamed lights and shades of camp, I say, will never be written. Perhaps must not, and should not be. The present memoranda may furnish a few stray glimpses into that life, and into those lurid interiors of the period, never to be fully conveyed to the future. For that purpose, and for what goes along with it, the hospital part of the drama from 1861-65 deserves indeed to be recorded. I but suggest it. Of that many-threaded drama, with its sudden and strange surprises, its confounding of prophecies, its moments of despair, the dread of foreign interference, the interminable campaigns, the bloody battles, the mighty and cumbrous and green armies, the drafts and bounties, the immense money expenditure like a heavy pouring constant rain, with, over the whole land, the last 3 years of the struggle, an unending, universal mourning wail of women, parents, orphans, the marrow of the tragedy concentrated in those hospitals, It seemed sometimes as if the whole interest of the land, north and south, was one vast central hospital, and all the rest of the affair but flanges, those forming the untold and unwritten history of the war. Infinitely greater, like life's, than the few scraps and distortions that are ever told or written. Think how much, and of importance will be, how much civic and military has already been, buried in the grave, in eternal darkness. But to my memoranda.